Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 1. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters, shall we pray as we come to look into this passage that our brother Bradley has just read for us? Father, we thank you for gathering each one of us here this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word, even for this particularly challenging passage. We pray that your Spirit, Lord, will speak to us and will speak to us deeply to evoke a response at an individual level, but also for us as a community, so that you will transform us and change us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we are continuing our series in Acts with this passage from Acts chapter 5 that gives this sobering and difficult account of Ananias and Sapphira. And I say difficult because we are still looking at our SJSM theme of radical hospitality, and the specific topic for today is the challenges of hospitality. But I think none of us, whatever challenges we might face in becoming a more hospitable church, would expect that this involves God striking anyone dead in our midst. And yet, in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, this is exactly what happens in the early church in Jerusalem. So to properly appreciate the lesson from Acts chapter 5, we need to understand the context first. And in the previous chapter, in Acts chapter 4, in the face of strong opposition from the rulers, the chief priests, and the elders in Jerusalem, Peter and John, together with a community of believers, continue to preach the gospel of Jesus and perform healings, signs, and wonders with boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 tells us, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. As we heard a few weeks back from Pastor Victor in Acts chapter 2, the new church community demonstrated truly radical hospitality, unity, and fellowship. And Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35 tells us, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This new community of believers was fulfilling Jesus' promises of the new covenant, and they were living proof of the Holy Spirit's presence. The nature of their communal life was a powerful witness to the love and unity that Jesus had taught, and they were living out radical hospitality in sharing everything they had in unity, in devotion to prayer, and ensuring that no one was in need. Now, while all the land and house owners were committed to supporting the needy in their community, one in particular is identified by name. And this is Barnabas, as we read in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 to 37. Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So it is in this context that we are introduced to Ananias and his wife Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, where we are told that the couple sold a piece of property. Now, we have to realize this in itself was a generous act. It's similar to what many others were doing. But the problem was that they then kept part of the proceeds of the sale while they pretended to give it all away. So this deception undermined the very essence and the spirit of radical hospitality that the early church was being known for. We should be clear that it was their choice what they did with their property and money. No one was forcing them to sell the property. There was no requirement for them to even contribute the whole amount they got from the sale. Their failure was not in keeping some of the money, but in their dishonesty and their hypocrisy. They both separately repeated the lie that they were giving the entire proceeds of the sale. They clearly intended to mislead Peter and the rest of the early church, and they wanted to give the appearance of generosity, but without the genuine sacrifice that it required. So to understand what happened next and what this passage teaches us about the challenges we face in living out radical hospitality, I would like to cover three key points. Firstly, we need to be authentic. Secondly, we need to know that we live in sacred community. And thirdly, we need to experience the reality of God's holiness, presence, and power in our midst. So the first point, we need to be authentic. True hospitality is not just about the outward act of giving or sharing. It's also about the heart behind our actions. Ananias' and Sapphira's failure was not in keeping some money, but as I said, in their dishonesty and their hypocrisy, they wanted the credit and the prestige for sacrificial giving to impress the rest of the church. But they were seeking the acclaim of generosity without its true cost. Ironically, their names contradict their natures. Now, earlier in Acts chapter 4, we are told that Barnabas means son of encouragement, which in fact he proved to be by his example of true generosity. What does Ananias mean? It actually means God is gracious. But he learned in a devastating way that God is also holy. Sapphira means beautiful, but she was unfortunately driven by the ugliness of deceit. So it's a great irony that their names were not really reflected in how they lived out their lives and the consequences we have read about. Now, the names we are all given by our parents usually describe important characteristics and noble aspirations. I don't think we give our children names that sort of denigrate them, although sometimes we do find people with interesting names. Sometimes we wonder where they came from. But the majority, I think, are names that have great aspirations. But the challenge for us is to be true to who and to what God has called us to be. As the author George MacDonald wrote, half the misery in the world comes from trying to look instead of trying to be what one is not. So to be authentic is to be genuine, it's to be real. It means aligning our actions with our words and intentions. It requires integrity in our relationships with one another and with God. Now, we live in a world where image often trumps reality. But as Christians, we are called to live differently. Our actions should reflect what we believe and who we really are. Offering hospitality also requires authenticity. We are called to open our homes, our hearts, our time, our resources without expecting anything in return. But we need to be genuine in our generosity, motivated by sincere love and a desire to serve others, not from the desire for recognition or approval. And as a church, we are called to embody such genuine hospitality. This is not just about sharing resources, but also about sharing our lives, being honest, being transparent with one another. But hospitality can be hindered by our pride and desire for human approval. Robert Gallagher writes this: "Fears arise when we focus more on what people think of us than on what God desires for us. We want people to think well of us. We don't want to look inferior or inadequate to others. Hospitality can make us vulnerable to disapproval, to disappointment, to discouragement. And so we need to remember that our identity ultimately comes from our Heavenly Father and that we are secure in Him. Perhaps this is what Ananias and Sapphira didn't get and which led them down that dark path of deception. Without the Holy Spirit's transforming power in our lives, we are prone to Satan's temptation to deceive ourselves and to deceive others. And this, of course, has negative consequences on our life as a welcoming spiritual community, because people, when they come in, surely are looking for authenticity. People don't come into church looking for the superficial forms of hospitality, or worse still, fake hospitality. So this is the first point. We need to be authentic. Secondly, we need to know that we live in sacred community. Having clarified that the actual sin of Ananias and Sapphira was a serious act of hypocrisy, we are still faced with this very difficult question: why did they have to die? After all, if we're realistic about ourselves and our church community, I don't think that any of us here today would claim that we have never been hypocritical in our words or actions at some point in our lives. So this is a very difficult question, which many learned theologians through the ages have considered. And as a caveat, I want to say that at best, I'm a lay preacher today, so I'm only sharing some thoughts from what I've read, and I leave it to our vicar to make any corrections later on. I was asking Pastor Victor, why is it that you give such a difficult passage to a lay preacher to talk about? But it's a serious question we have to consider. And it seems that the important thing for us to remember is that what happened to both of them, to Ananias and Sapphira, was at the very beginning of the early church, when the community of believers in Jerusalem had just come together in very difficult circumstances. But they had come together with great faith and spiritual fire to honor God. Now, the theologians Bishop N.T. Wright and Dr. Brian Vickers, they've both separately noted that this incident happened in the context of the believing community that began in Acts 4:32. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. So this was the new community in which the living God had come to dwell through his Spirit. God was present in them, and God was with them. He was not dwelling in a building made by human hands of bricks and stones. He was dwelling in and with his people. They were now his new temple. In other words, this was a sacred community. And so lying to the community and the apostles was effectively lying to God himself. This is why Peter said to Ananias in Acts 5:4, "You have not lied to man, but to God." Some years later, when Peter wrote to believers in his first epistle, in 1 Peter, he said, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." He then continues with a well-known verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So the Jerusalem Christians were a living example of the Apostle Peter's description of the church much later on. And it was in this context that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the community. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesian church, says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So Ananias and Sapphira were bringing falsehood to a situation where there should only be truth. And what they lied about at this time and place went against the grain of what this new sacred community was all about. When Bishop N.T. Wright was interviewed about this passage, he said it's a very uncomfortable topic. And if someone wanted to make Acts more palatable and less controversial, he would have left out this story. But we know that Luke, who wrote Acts, describes the incident without any attempt to water it down. So it therefore drives home the point that because the early community of believers was now the new temple of the new covenant, basically the message is, don't mess around with the temple of the living God. God is an all-consuming fire. And the holiness of God in the life of the community is not just something safe, warm and fuzzy. So playing fast and loose with God's holiness fractures the presence of God in their midst and also in our midst. In today's context and in the life of SJSM, we should be grateful that because of God's grace and mercy, we do not see him dealing with our lying and our hypocrisy in such a drastic and devastating way. But we cannot and we should not ignore the fact that we are a sacred community. And N.T. Wright asks the question, are we taking seriously what it means to be a sacred community of God's people in whom the Holy Spirit dwells? And he thinks that if we're honest about it, we probably don't take it as seriously as we should. And I think this is something for all of us to consider. At the same time, especially as we think about this new season in the life of SJSM and our theme of radical hospitality, the more we are conscious of the fact that we are part of a sacred community in which the Holy Spirit dwells, the more we can be open to God shaping us and making us individually and collectively into a community where truth, holiness, unity, compassion, and the selfless love of Jesus are demonstrated and experienced. In and across SJSM Village, we have already been seeing this happen more and more. But as we more fully grasp what it means to be a sacred community of holiness and authenticity, how exciting I believe it will be to see what more the Lord will do in and through us in the weeks, the months, and the years ahead. So, brothers and sisters, let's remember we live in a sacred community. Thirdly, we need to experience the reality of God's holiness, presence, and power. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 11, we read, "As news of the death of Ananias and Sapphira spread, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things." So the whole of the early church in Jerusalem, and even those in the wider community who heard of this, were gripped by fear and the reality of God's holiness and power. The immediate judgment that fell upon Ananias and Sapphira was a profound statement about the seriousness of sin and the holiness of God. God's presence in the early church was powerful. It was real. And this event underscored that God cannot be mocked. We often take God's grace and patience for granted, forgetting that he is holy and just. And the fear that came upon the early church after these events was a healthy reminder of God's awe-inspiring presence. It reminded them, and it reminds us today, that we should not be over-familiar with God and regard him lightly. God's holiness demands our respect and reverence. From this episode, the early church began to honestly evaluate what God wanted of them and where they stood spiritually. And as we read further in Acts chapter 5, we see in verse 12 that many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hand of the apostles. And in verse 14, that more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. The point of recognizing we are a divinely inspired sacred community, demonstrating God's holiness and authenticity, is not so that we become a holy huddle of believers, comfortably gathering together every Saturday or Sunday. The outcome should be a community where signs and wonders are experienced and where multitudes are added to the Lord through radical hospitality and the experience of his presence. By now, I think we are familiar from Pastor Victor with Henry Nouwen's description of hospitality as the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. And in this same essay, Nouwen goes on to say, in our world full of strangers, estranged from their own past, culture, and country, from their neighbors, friends, and family, from their deepest self and their God, we witness a painful search for a hospitable place where life can be lived without fear and where community can be found. The movement from hostility to hospitality is hard and full of difficulties, but still, that is our vocation, to convert the hostis into a hospes, the enemy into a guest, and to create the free and fearless space where brotherhood and sisterhood can be formed and fully experienced. At its core, Christian radical hospitality challenges society's norms by extending grace, compassion, and acceptance to anyone, regardless of their background, beliefs, or status. It involves stepping out of our comfort zones to build genuine connections, to foster understanding, with a hope of leading to transformative experiences for both host and guest. But although being hospitable is a noble aspiration, we know it can pose a variety of challenges. One major hurdle is, how do you maintain boundaries while still being open and welcoming, especially when you're in situations where there may be potential risks or safety concerns when you're engaging in different sorts of relationships? There's also the challenge of managing resources effectively to sustain a welcoming environment, but without overextending ourselves to the point that we get burnt out. Balancing the desire to help others with the practical limitations of time, space, and energy can also be demanding. Appreciating cultural and ideological differences while seeking to foster genuine connection and understanding requires patience, it requires empathy, it requires open-mindedness. It takes us well beyond our comfort zones, and these are significant commitments. And we know that this will not be humanly possible if we are not guided and empowered by God's Spirit, because we are limited by our personalities and we are limited by our biases and our past experiences. We are also creatures of habit. We are not comfortable with change. But brothers and sisters, the encouraging reality is that our God is always at work. We should be open to signs and wonders, and we should also be open to the fact that these may not always take the form of obviously supernatural interventions, although they may. While events and outcomes may not always seem out of the ordinary, when we take a step back and we see things in totality, like the way SJSM Village has become a reality through the extraordinary journey of Project Spring Winter, we realize that none of this would have been possible without the hand of God shaping situations, opening doors, and changing people. So as we move on in this new season, our church and our village need to increasingly become a distinctive, hospitable community that also demonstrates the holiness, the power, and the presence of God. Our hospitality needs to be radical and spirit-empowered. Otherwise, when we invite people to come to our community, they may not experience anything qualitatively different from what any other well-meaning organization or group offers. In his book, The Surprising Rebirth of Belief in God, which was published last year, Christian broadcaster Justin Brierley points out that even those who are interested in exploring Christianity but do not yet identify as believers express concern about how churches in the West look and behave too much like the surrounding culture. And he quotes journalist Ben Sixsmith, who wrote, "I am not religious, so it is not my place to dictate to Christians what they should and should not believe. Still, if someone has a faith worth following, I feel that their beliefs should make me feel uncomfortable for not doing so. If they share 90% of my lifestyle and values, then there is nothing especially inspiring about them. Instead of making me want to become more like them, it looks very much as if they want to become more like me." These are very challenging words from someone who is looking in from the outside into the church. And over 15 years, Justin Brierley has hosted many podcast conversations between believers and pre-believers or non-believers, and he has been surprised by how in recent years, previously staunch atheists have become more open to the gospel and even joined church communities. And at the end of his book, he makes some important points that I think are very relevant for us. So he says this: churches need to be places of capacious community, ready to embrace the walking wounded and make space for those at the beginning of their journey, places where we take seriously the experiences and stories of people who are different from each other. Perhaps the greatest witness the church can offer society is that even when we disagree, we can still love each other. And he quotes Jesus in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." He goes on to say, "Holiness and unity are both important, and we are often guilty of sacrificing one in favor of the other. However, the church is supposed to be a place where we work out how to bring them together. This may sound miraculous. Fortunately, Christians believe that a miracle has occurred. The forgiveness of our sins through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, modeling our lives and relationships after him, means that we are called to be a constantly grace-filled, constantly forgiving, constantly loving community." So the story of Ananias and Sapphira calls us to a higher bar of living authentically in sacred community. We are challenged to embrace radical hospitality with genuine hearts, to live out our faith authentically, to respect the holiness and power of God because we are a sacred community, and to attract people through a qualitatively different type of community where the life-changing love of the risen Jesus is powerfully at work through the Holy Spirit. So in closing, and as the worship team comes to lead us in a song of response, let's examine our lives. Are we practicing true hospitality, giving and sharing not just our resources, but our lives? Are we living with integrity and authentically, ensuring our actions match what we claim to believe? Are we sufficiently aware of the sacredness of our community life and the holy presence of God in our midst? May SJSM Village depend on the Holy Spirit to increasingly reflect the love, authenticity, holiness, and reverence that God desires. And let's pray for His strength and empowering to live this out in our individual lives and to be a radically hospitable community in which He is always present and active.